Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I'm blessed as a father to have two boys. My little boys, Matthew and Nathan, this is from my office wall, and it's one of my most favourite pictures. But they're no longer small. My boys are as tall as me, and I have the privilege that they both work for me. It was an honour that Matthew, even though he did quite well at school, chose to come and work for the family business. He could have done anything he wanted. But we've had an incredible year together, and he's actually fulfilled a dream I never knew I had. During lockdown, we've been playing games, Monopoly being one of them. And I won the game of Monopoly we played because the boys didn't realise that when you have Mayfair and Park Lane with a hotel, you are the winner. And it was the next day while I was away, my wife texts me and says, the boys are scheming and practicing to beat you the next time. As all good children do, they do not want their father to be the winner. They do want to destroy him. I want to read today from Colossians chapter 3, reading from verse 12. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, of which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. On to verse 18, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Being Father's Day, I want to focus on verse 20. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to call God Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He taught us also that God is not everyone's father. In Romans chapter 8, it says, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have received a Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Not everyone can lay claim to the privilege of knowing God as Father. Only those who are born of God, who receive Christ and are led by the Spirit, have the right to receive the inheritance of being his children. Promises like Matthew 7, verse 11, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? The privilege of prayer and the promise that God will work all things together for good is part of the inheritance of having God as your heavenly Father. One winter, snowy day, heavy snowfall had fallen overnight, and Dad went to his work in the morning. The snow was so deep, he didn't take his car. But he walked away, and as he was leaving the house, he heard the door and his little son shouting, Daddy, Daddy! And he turned to look. And he saw his little boy bouncing from one footprint to the other. And he shouted to his dad, Daddy, I'm coming in your footsteps. The moment his son said that, the father realized, I need to be careful where I'm going because my children are following me. I believe being a dad should be patented on God's fatherhood. The overriding goal for every father should be to live in such a way that his children can see what God the Father is like. They ought to see in their dad a reflection, albeit imperfect, of the Heavenly Father in his strength and tenderness and mercy, in his wisdom and patience and guidance, the task for every dad to be that image of his Father in heaven. This message has relevance for everyone listening, whether you're a father or not, or whether you're not a dad yet, and whether you had a Christian father or not. I want to make it clear that from the outset, the sadness many feel at never having had a father, or a father like the father I'm going to describe today, and the sadness others may feel at never having been a father like the one I'm describing, that sadness can be swallowed up and overcome with joy this morning, because God offers his fatherhood to anyone who will accept the gift of adoption by trusting Christ and allowing ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. If we look back at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, the verse says, "Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged." The goal of a good father is to rear children who are not discouraged. The word implies losing heart, making someone feel less confident, enthusiastic or disinterested, moody, kind of blank resignation to life. Don't be the kind of father who rears that kind of person. Instead, develop a style of fatherhood that produces the opposite of discouragement. I would say the opposite of discouragement is three things: being hopeful, being happy, and being confident and courageous. I think that the negative form of verse 21 is actually a positive. It says, "Fathers, don't aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged." But I believe the verse is saying to us not only to avoid one type of parenting, but to be dads who give hope instead of discouragement, happiness, and to give confidence and courage. I don't think there is a parent listening who thinks that the aim of being a parent should be to discourage children. Paul's teaching makes it clear that when he says we should be fathers that give hope instead of discouragement, he means hope in God. Not hope in money or hope in popularity or education, hope of the perfect spouse or hope in success. Paul understood that freedom that comes from not being discouraged by being filled with the hope that they will become wealthy or well-known or intellectual or married or successful. Paul is saying here, the kind of fathers who do not discourage their children, don't be that person. Be the person who fills them with hope in God. Happiness is the opposite of discouragement. Paul would certainly not be content if a father simply made his child feel good by giving him whatever they wanted. Fathers, don't discourage your children, but fill them with the joy in God. Teach them early on and show them earlier yet that it says in Romans chapter 5, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us to develop endurance, especially in times like now. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope in salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. It is our hope that God does not produce disappointment. Don't discourage them. Make them happy in God, helping them to hope in God. Joy does not come from things or money or just by getting whatever we wanted. Our character and what we rely on is formed at a very early age. We should fully rely on God. And when we consider confidence and as the opposite of discouragement, this verse takes a dramatic turn away from the common sense, natural wisdom of the world. The world says, don't discourage a child, build up his self-confidence. The scripture says, don't discourage a child, build up their God confidence. In fact, the Bible is more precise than that. It teaches, don't discourage a child, but do your best to root out the self-confidence and replace it with a confidence in God. And when it teaches us to root out self-confidence, it means to root out the desire to be and to appear self-confident. The scripture knows that most people don't succeed at being self-confident. Paul went on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. as a purpose of all good fatherly discipline, Paul came to realize to fully put his trust in his Father. God came to Paul in Corinth and said, "Do not be afraid." And I'm saying to you this morning, do not be afraid. "But speak and do not be silent, for I am with you." Some of the greatest words in the Bible. So the confidence that we should build into our children is not self-confidence, but confidence in the grace and the power of God. Children, do not be afraid. I am with you. Fathers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. In verse 20, the previous verse, it says, "Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord." That gives parents tremendous authority and responsibility under God. Children are to do what parents say. We must not misuse this God-given authority. We must never treat children in such a way that their spirit is crushed, and they become hopelessly discouraged. Paul calls this misuse provoking. Don't aggravate your children. Provoking, on the other hand, can be used to stir up or motivate them. I think Paul would have us teach that parents should avoid everything that ruins a child's confidence in God and leaves them hopeless and discouraged. This requires a lot of wisdom from fathers because not all short-term discouragements result in long-term hopelessness. On the contrary, our Heavenly Father clearly brings short-term frustrations and discouragements in our lives precisely to put us on a new footing of faith. The most important work that a father can do for the sake of his children is to be converted. The most important strategy for rearing children is to become a new man in Christ, whose hope and happiness and confidence are in God and not of himself. We know that this is true from Scripture because we are taught to imitate our Heavenly Father. We are told to be holy as he is holy. We are told to be merciful as he is merciful. To be a good child is to copy Daddy. It honors a father to be imitated. We are commanded to honor our fathers. And so the most important question a father can ask is not, "What shall I teach my children?" but rather, "Who am I before God and who am I before my children?" Be like your Father in heaven so that your children can know him and become hopeful and happy and confident in him. Verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents." This clearly teaches that mothers, as well as fathers, are to be obeyed. Mothers and fathers have shared authority over the children. But in verse 21, fathers are addressed in particular. So this Father's Day, I urge you to take that responsibility and that you be the kind of man who gives hope and happiness and confidence to your children, because you yourself have found your hope and your confidence in your God. The story of the prodigal son I read again recently. And a brother takes half his inheritance and goes away. It's a very familiar story. And eventually comes to rock bottom and comes to his senses. No money left. And he comes back to his dad to beg to become a servant, feeling himself not even worthy to be a son. As I read it again, I saw being a father, a dad forgiving and loving his child despite his mistakes, beyond his mistakes. He didn't look at any of the mistakes. He just showed love and forgiveness. The father's forgiveness and open arms for a prodigal son despite their mistakes. I was working with Matthew, I told you at the beginning, and one day I was in a rear garden, he was in the front, and we were cutting the grass, and Matthew came running through to me. He says, Dad, I've smashed a window. Now, I'm not going to lie, we were in a very large house with very large window panes, and I went running through to the front with my heart in my mouth and was never been so pleased that he'd smashed the window of my van. The mower had picked up a stone in the grass and it threw to the window and smashed it to a million pieces. He was so annoyed and mad at the situation. And I said, "It's okay, that's why we have insurance. I'll just pay the excess and that's it done. They'll come and they'll fix it." He said, "Oh, and how much is that, Dad?" So I told him. I thought nothing more of it and we carried on our work and we phoned the insurance and they fixed the window. But that night when I went to bed, on my pillow was the exact amount of the excess that Matthew had put there. It meant so much to me. It showed me his heart. And I went straight back and gave him that. I says, it's okay. Dad's got this. Sometimes in our situation that we feel so bad that something has happened and we try and fix it ourselves, but actually we just need to hand it over because Dad's got this. It's good to know that there's a Father in heaven who has got this for us. But there was a boy who went to the circus and he enjoyed the circus with his dad and he saw the ringmaster in his top hat and red jacket and the animals and the performers and had a great time. But at the end of the hustle and bustle, when everyone was scattering, he got separated from his father and he was not with his dad. His dad was frantically looking all over the people, the crowd for him. This was in a time when we could have crowds, by the way. The ringmaster saw the little boy and he realized that he didn't have an adult with him. And he picked him up and he took him right in the middle of the ring, in the middle of the circus, lifted him on his shoulders, and he commanded in his loudest voice, "Everybody in this tent, look at me." Well, the little boy just thought this was the best circus trick he'd ever seen. But in the moment that everybody looked, there was a red-faced man who pushed his way through the crowd to get to his boy. The little boy was having such a good time, he didn't even know he was lost. He didn't even know the situation he was in and the scare that he'd given his dad. But his dad did everything he could to get to his son, to find him again, because he knew that he'd lost his son. His dad was more anxious than he was to find him. Your Father in heaven today is looking for you. He is looking and looking and looking. He wants to welcome you home. And he's looking to forgive all our mistakes, just like I forgive Matthew that window. He wants to install hope and happiness and confidence in our lives. The older I get, the more my wife tells me I'm turning into my dad. I have so many traits of my father. We can all have the traits of our Father in heaven, turning into our dad, being adopted and gaining inheritance in the knowledge and security that we have an everlasting God who looks out for us, who forgives us, who guides us, fills us with love and joy, inspires us, builds confidence, and gives us good gifts. Are you up for adoption today? If you are, I want you to pray this prayer with me. We need to, when we ask God to become our Father in heaven, we need to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths. It's that simple. We all have the rights then of being children who are loved, cared for, encouraged, and guided by our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Today, God, I come to you asking for forgiveness of my sins and my mistakes. I confess with my mouth and I believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son and that he died on the cross for me. So that I may have eternal life with you, today adopt me into your family, lead me and guide me by your Holy Spirit, and give me hope that passes all understanding. And Jesus, bless all the fathers of the world. Father, we ask that you'll guide them to be good role models and loving to their children. We also ask you to help them to be a father like you are, giving them grace and patience to handle situations in a loving way. Let us be fathers of hope. In your precious name, amen.